Good morning, everybody. This is Martin Zunder, and I'm here in China Grove, North Carolina, with my fellow laborer, Waylon Debs.
Good morning.
It's good to have everybody watching here. We're going to answer a question that I received this morning on my email, and I think it's a good question, obviously, but I can't handle it alone.
That's why he's got backup. Brother Way is here.
I needed to call in the backup because this is a big time seriousness. All right, this is the question, Waylon, that I got this morning.
Okay.
It's from a brother named David Ross.
Hi, David.
And he is in Canada somewhere, I think. He says, Martin, I can't keep my mouth shut, so I still engage people about the gospel of grace. But one thing I cannot comprehend, why does God allow some fruit to come out of the tremendous efforts put forth by the religious church and their relentless preaching of the circumcision gospel? Even the slightest success only encourages them to keep on keeping on. Wouldn't it all come to cessation if they did all this stuff and there was no fruit at all? When I think of the time and resources the Christian church plows into all these activities, ends with two exclamation points, and that's the end of the question. And the frustration here is he's seeing these nominal Christian organizations having success, and he's frustrated because we know that any success or failure comes from God. And I think the frustration is, why would God encourage these people by success to keep going because they keep spewing falsehood and deceiving more people?
That's true. It's a big question. I mean, but I think, Martin, we need to qualify what kind of success is he talking about. You know, it certainly can't be spiritual success.
No, that's true. Because, and I would say this too. I don't agree with the basic premise that they're teaching the circumcision evangel.
Oh, me neither. It's got to be a mix. They're mixing law and grace. It's not a pure circumcision gospel at all, I don't think.
Right, and we know from Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says that he despised any mix whatsoever. Paul recognized the legitimacy of the circumcision gospel, and of course he recognized the legitimacy of his own. What he hated was anybody mixing the two. And so, you were talking to me earlier about success, that we have to see how you measure success, and you spoke of success coming in different fields,
right? I mean,
endeavor.
You mean you check? You know, if you people get together, it's self-help groups. I mean, they see kind of success in a social gathering. You know, they see success in helping people's lives, whether it be financial or fellowship success.
Right.
But the mixing of the two gospels, there's no success at all. I think you brought up Paul. The Galatians. He actually said that someone had bewitched them.
Right.
You know.
Right.
By mixing the two.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to acknowledge David here when he says, and speaking to your point, they have success as the world measures success.
Right.
They have money, they have backing, they have the buildings, they have the structure, they have the support and the popularity of the entire world. So if you measure success by all of those things, they are successful.
Yeah. Dump truck.
Dump truck. Yeah, we got the ambient noises of North Carolina here.
But let's also talk about this. Let's talk about it from an absolute viewpoint, success as well. I mean, to the world must see some sort of success in that environment so that God can bring it down at a later time.
Ooh, I like what you're saying there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a Waylon Debs way of looking at things, that God is giving them success. He's building them up in order to take them down.
Exactly.
To set up the contrast.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. How would we know Jesus if it wasn't for sin?
Right.
You know, how could the world actually see the fall of religion unless they thought it was built up?
Yes, and are these people gaining any success in God's eyes? Does God measure success by popularity, by the bottom line, by how much money you took into the collection plate? I would say no. What would you say?
I would say absolutely not. The number around the altar and the number of people that feel good about themselves going to a building to worship God, no success there at all.
Yeah, not in God's sight. We know that God measures success so much differently than human measure it. And the complaint here, which, believe me, I get David's complaint.
I get it too.
It is frustrating, especially when I first started this work. I was so frustrated that I knew I had the truth, and I knew that they were, it was just a pack of lies, and yet they had all the resources, all the, I mean, the money that they spend, these religious organizations, on trash bags every year for their offices. I could live on that money for a year. So it was frustrating. But then I started to see it as a David and Goliath thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the David and Goliath scenario, God actually works hard to build up Goliath.
Right.
So Goliath has all this high-tech armor on. He's a giant, and he has all the latest gear. And I would make that analogy that Goliath is the mainstream religion that David's talking about here.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, I think.
And then who are we in that analogy?
We're puny little David.
Little teenage boy. With, not only does he refuse the armor offered him by Saul, but he goes out there, and all the pictures I've seen, all the drawings I've seen of David, he's just wearing his little shepherd clothes.
Yeah.
And he's got a slingshot, which is the most humiliating, it's laughable.
Mm-hmm.
You go after the champion of the Philistines with a slingshot.
With a slingshot.
But the beautiful thing about that is I know how that story ends.
I do too. Slingshot and rocks got the slingshot, rocks, and God got the job done.
Got the job done. And so this is a beautiful preparation, I think, that God is making the institution stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making us
weaker and weaker.
Weaker and weaker.
In the world's eyes.
In the world's eyes. That's right. And I got to remind people that when Christ returns, this whole thing, and I encourage David here too, this whole thing is going to be reversed.
It is. It is. And then the fake success that the people think the religious world has now is going to come tumbling down, okay? And the sons of God will be manifested on who they really are, and then the world's going to go, oh, now I see.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be such a startling thing when God reverses the fortunes. In fact, we should actually be happy. Well, it's hard to say that. Maybe not happy, but at least understanding when we see religion getting bigger and bigger. Who was it yesterday? Tony Smith was here, and he was telling us of Joel Osteen, how much money Osteen takes in.
It was like $600,000 in a single collection.
$600,000 in a single collection. And like he has a $9 million house, and it is frustrating. And you know God's behind us. It's like, so this is what the only conclusion I can reach is that God is purposely strengthening Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And he's purposely stripping us down in order to highlight this astounding change of fortunes that's mm-hmm. going to come around when Christ returns.
That's right. I agree with that totally, Martin. Like I said, without religion being big and us being small, the change wouldn't be that significant.
Yeah, how can it be startling? And if you're in Israel and you see this David and Goliath battle, if you're actually back there and you read the newspaper the next day, and the newspaper says 9-foot-9 giant destroys teenage boy, it's like, yeah, duh. Nobody's going to search the details of that story. It's like, of course, what else would happen? But when the headline is teenage boy unarmed destroys the champion of the Philistines, I'm going to turn to page 2 for details on that story. So God is setting up a fantastic contrast. And the second part of this question, let's elaborate on that a little bit. Even the slightest success only encourages them. Well, we know they have more than slight successes. Mm-hmm. Encourages them to keep on. Wouldn't it all come to a stop if they did all this stuff and there was no fruit at all? Do you think that if the church, the visible religious church, do you think that if they really had no fruit, do you think they would stop?
No. I don't think they would stop.
I don't know.
I mean, there's an amount of pride that goes into, you know, religious people. I know you've met them, that if you're religious, it doesn't matter who else, they have a sense of pride in themselves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they do. I think at first they maybe try to put it on, but let me give you this angle. Go ahead. Were you finished with that?
No, go ahead.
Well, I think that I'm comparing them with us now. So
okay.
Maybe this is a new slant on the question. I think that if they saw no fruit, they're in it for visible fruit. That's what they're in it for.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I mean?
Right.
So I'm thinking if Joel Osteen suddenly went from $600,000 on one afternoon's work, if that was reduced to $100.
Oh, Joel Osteen would be out.
Quit. He would quit.
He'd be out.
He would be out, he said, because that's what he's in it for.
That's it.
And if all of a sudden, like, he gave an altar call and nobody came, to me, that would be a sign of success of your ministry.
I agree with that. I mean, I agree with you, Martin, in the fact that you know, if they quit seeing success, you know, over time, they would just quit. Okay, because I can tell you, that's kind of what happened to me when I started realizing, coming to a realization of the truth, mm-hmm. all of my former thoughts of success, oh, I led this person to God, and I done this, and I done that. All that was wiped away once the truth came in,
yeah.
and I understood that. So I think maybe you're right. And once that success leaves, they'll try hard for a little bit, and then they'll just die.
Yeah, whereas with us, on the other hand, I'll speak for myself, and then you can speak for yourself, but Christ has trained me to not use visible success as a measure of my success with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, if you look at the scriptural precedent, you will find failure, even Jesus's mm-hmm. ministry. He had to eventually throw up his hands and say, God, you're all wise for hiding this thing from the wise and prudent and showing it to babes. But I think we're trained to not see earthly reward or earthly success as a gauge.
Well, here's the thing. If we could see it, it would no longer be a faith. I think Paul said it somewhere that we walk by faith, not by sight.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sure that's a Bible verse somewhere.
Yeah, read the whole Bible, you'll,
you'll find
it. Yeah, read the whole Bible.
So, but
no, that's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. Is that if all of a sudden, and I've often said that, if I was speaking at a conference and 10,000 people showed up, I'd wonder, what am I doing wrong?
What are you doing wrong?
What am I doing wrong? And so I don't know if we should think that way, because God could do anything he wants. He does not want this truth to be armed like Goliath, that because it misses the whole point, right?
That misses the point. You're right about that. I mean, if I was to become in a financial situation to where I had no cares in the world, no trials in the world, I would not be who I am today.
That's
you
right.
wouldn't be who you are
no,
today.
No, I wouldn't.
Our ministries wouldn't be what they are today.
No, that
you'd be Joel Osteen.
Oh my God, I'd be Joel Osteen. I'd have to preach against myself. I'd have to have a hard time loving. I would have a hard time loving myself.
I hear you.
If I turned into Joel
I would
Osteen.
Have to work at it myself.
All right, so we've solved some problems here. We have great question, David. I'm glad you asked it, because now we give this answer and it goes out to all the saints all over the world, is that God is purposely building up the enemies, his enemies, purposely building up his enemies, not because they're doing the right thing, but because he's setting them up for a monumental, history-making, front page news fall. Yes.
Fall.
And he has stripped us of earthly advantage, like he did with David, in order to put us on the front page headlines. Like, look what these stripped down, inconsequential lunatics.
And that's why God gets all the credit.
Yes, that's why God gets all the credit.
He takes something like us and does this.
Yes.
Okay?
That's a great point.
And everybody's going to go, look what God did. It ain't going to be, look what Martin did or look what Brother Wade did. It's going to be, look what God did with that.
Great point. That's a highlight to end on, I think. That's fantastic. So I'm going to end this by saying everybody needs to go to YouTube, put in Waylon Dabbs, The Simple Truth. And this man puts out videos. He's got a lot of them on there now, and they will all show up when you go to Waylon Dabbs, The Simple Truth. And also our brother Rob Weil in Canada also has a web show. It's called The Great Unfolding. Go to youtube.com, put in Rob Weil, W-I-L-E. He's laboring up in Canada. He's another David, just like we are in the David and Goliath scenario. And the great ending to that story is David wins.